a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU. Tuesday nights at 7, Utah defensive lineman Devin Kaufusi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL News Radio. It is the Players Club. Every week we bring it to you right here. Jaron Hall was on Monday, and of course, the Utah side of the Players Club is Devin Kaufusi, defensive lineman for the Utes, in studio tonight, fighting through the Jazz traffic to get here. Yes, we have a Jazz preseason game across the street at home. It's beautiful to get Vivint Smart Home Arena back up. Even with the black and white that everybody's – that's so controversial now out in front of the – the note is black and white now, and the whole screen's black and white, and the black Vivint on the stadium now. But Devin's in studio with us. He's going to walk over to the game afterwards. So even Utah players need to have a little fun afterwards.
I got Jazz fever, so, you know.
Have you always been a Jazz fan?
I was a Jazz fan, and then that
– oh, boy.
Your heart gets broken so many times, you know,
okay.
You get pushed away.
It's a personal protection.
I'm so tired of Tracy McGrady knocking us off when I was in middle school.
So now you became a Rockets fan?
Not Rockets. No. I was, you know,
you just
Will,
up.
Boozer, AK, and stuff.
Yeah.
I was all for that. And the powder blue jerseys then. And then the Houston just kept, you know, it was the kryptonite then.
Houston. You know what's funny about, but do you not have a team then? You don't have an NBA team that you follow, really?
Not really.
Yeah, guys are all busy. That's the problem with
players, I guess.
So
yeah.
Which sport do you like better, football or basketball?
Basketball is really fun.
Oh.
I love football. So yeah, so that's like my family. We all love basketball. We all love watching basketball. That's my dad. Him being a football coach, he loves basketball.
Well,
see, that's how I don't like. My thrill is not to watch a football game.
Yeah,
it's
my
really
dad. Yeah, that's same. My dad loves.
Yeah, it's like I love watching basketball.
That's basketball so weird, year, right?
He coached basketball. I mean, he coached football forever, and then he likes to watch basketball.
Oh yeah,
more?
Like when Bronson and Corbin doing their thing at BYU on the basketball team. My dad's gleaming.
Well,
on
that's
after the
true,
stands
though.
There
because Scott doesn't like watching football games.
That's what I just said.
He just because he has to break it down too much. He's got to be the expert.
Well, you watch it to be analytical. You don't watch it to like it be entertained by.
Yeah,
us.
Yeah. Well, the Bucks are in town tonight, so preseason game with the world champs in town, and so it's always fun to see these guys. And here's the real deal is that now they're kind of getting closer to the regular season, so we've got basketball fever across the street. You can, of course, tune into Jazz basketball on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network as part of our sister coverage as well. Do we call them brother coverage because it's mostly guys who work over there at the Zone?
It's bro coverage.
You can't call it the sister station. All right, so we'll kick things right off here. Congrats on a massive win down at USC. I just want to know what the vibe was like after that game. As soon as that win happened, I mean, it was actually a definite butt kicking most of the way through. And by the time it was the end of the third quarter, it was 42-10. USC got a few points back in the fourth quarter. It didn't matter. It was such a blowout. What was the message to the team afterward from Coach Witt?
Just that's the team that, you know, we've always known we could be. And if we're that team, every game, we'll win every game on the way out. So
How do you accomplish that, though? That's the thing, is it's like, it's one thing to have a bunch of talent, a bunch of guys on the team, so how do you bottle that up, and what have you been working on to be able to get to that spot now?
Yeah, you got to look back to that week and see, you know, what happened, what changed, you know, and just be able to bring that into this week's preparation, whether it's, you know, how guys are feeling, just that mindset. And I really don't think it was too much of an X and O's thing, but I think this guy's, you know, tapping into that performance flow of, you know, just absolute domination.
There's something to be said about, you know, the way you play, and you just play just, you know, all out. You just you play to win. You go full speed. You don't analyze things. You don't think about things, and it really shows. The thing that was really fascinating to me about the game is you guys changed your whole defensive philosophy, mm-hmm. and you had 2 weeks to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the radio booth going, that's a gutsy thing to do, because mm-hmm. like, because you're like basically selling out to a whole new idea, and so you went with a 3-man.
Yep.
Front, mm-hmm. and it gives you a lot more flexibility because they're mainly a throwing team. I understand the philosophy. It's what BYU does. They 3-3, and then they can rush a bunch of people, or they can drop a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It limits the passing lanes that you have. How hard was that to actually accomplish, where it's a wholesale change for you guys? I mean, you haven't done that to this point in mm-hmm. the season.
Yeah. With the time off, we're able to, you know, mess around and seeing it. We were able to show some of that front, at least from the defensive line perspective. You know, some in San Diego State. We played USC last year, knowing they're a passing team. But you can know they're a passing team, but if you're not stopping the run in any...
Because that's the vulnerability in it, right?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
It's just like they're a passing team, but if they're also running on you, then like, you know, pick your poison.
So you've done it before.
Yeah,
you've had the front before, so it's not uh-huh. just a totally brand new thing.
Not totally brand new, but there are definitely some tweaks and
you
stuff.
Done a lot of it.
Yeah, when it came to drawing.
Could you
up,
tell they were thrown off by it too? I mean, when they had all this, were they? Could you tell, like, okay, or was it the kind of thing where they're like, all right, we knew they were going to do something along these lines? Or it seemed like they were totally. It was something they had to massively adjust to, and never ended up doing it.
Yeah, which is crazy because, like I said, we've showed kind of this look last year when we played them, but I think just through the disguising and what we're able to do is what was new and threw them off. So
I think it absolutely threw them off because I think they're expecting it a certain way, and it was
it a certain way.
And so. I think what they were trying to do was actually run the ball more than they normally do, and I don't think they wanted to. You know,
yeah.
It's like the front kind of said, "Well, maybe we should," and they just weren't very effective in it.
Uh-huh.
There was so much that went on in the game. I want to point out, you know, Cam Rising, it wasn't just this team that was, you know, we look at it and we go, okay, coach after the game tells you guys, this is the team we knew we could be, and this was the team that you have to beat, the Trojans, at their place to kind of go through and make any sort of run in the Pac-12. You have to go through those guys. So check that one off of the list. But Cam Rising was the guy that – he was also playing
yeah.
like the guy that we – had known what he was and what kind of guy we had seen in the last couple of years, who had earned the starting job last year and took that job away from Charlie Brewer this year. Was that, I mean, did you feel like he turned a corner too? And was that something that you looked at and you went, okay, now we have that leader on the offensive side of things now?
Yeah, leadership position for sure. But that's just Cam. I mean, if you've been around Cam and known Cam, like you said, him being a captain and having a starting position from last year, it's just – you know, that guy is just Mr. Optimistic and Mr. Positive, and he's going to find a way through it. And so seeing that happen and come together for him just made me super happy, you know, as a team winning, but for him on a personal level as well.
One of the coolest things, we're up in the radio booth after the game. Cam Rising is laying down in the end zone. Nobody's in the Coliseum, uh-huh. and he's FaceTiming his mom.
Yep.
And it was just a cool moment. You know, like, I think you all realize how big a moment it was to beat USC
yep.
in the Coliseum. Massive moment.
And then on the flip side, you have the Kafusi family. They've been through this so many times. You have to, like, call and wake up your parents. Hey, yeah. We won this game. Did you watch it?
Exactly. Everyone has their family there. He goes, is your family here? I was like, no, they're watching it. And they've been through this rodeo. Parents getting old and stuff.
I did some research.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've been having some discussions with certain people.
Oh, we got some research.
Good.
And we'll come back to it when we come back. It's the Players Club right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Devin Kafusi. Jazz up 11-10 early on the Bucks across the street here. Preseason game. Last home preseason game for the Jazz as we walk up to the start of the regular season. The world champs are in town. right here at Vivint Smart Home Arena. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Frustrated not being able to hear every Jazz game?
Now you can listen to KSLSports.com.
Tired of not being able to find the stream?
Hey, me too. Listen at KSLSports.com.
Wish you could finally hear every block and every arena-shaking dunk?
Yes, so download the KSL Sports app.
Hear every game, every dunk, every Jazz win. Live at KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at KSLPodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.